In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067 right now. Congrats, you'll win two tickets to see Creed. Their summer 99 tours this Friday, July 26th, coming to Jiffy Lube Live. Special guest, Three Doors Down, Finger 11. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. The show, as always, is sponsored by our friends exclusively. The law firm of Condori and Murrah. They're going to guide you and your family in the right direction. They're going to help you draft a will or set up a revocable trust. Create a healthcare power of attorney. If you need that, they can do that. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. Score yourself a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Thank you to Toby for getting us up to date there. Mitchell Parker on the hill for the Nats tonight, as you heard Toby breaking down. Looking forward to seeing if the Nats can get a fourth win in five games since the break. No offense yesterday.
Yep, that's the thing.
It is really hard to win if you don't hit and you don't score. That's what I've learned in all my years watching baseball. You kind of got to hit the baseball at some point, or else you might lose the baseball game. For more on that and all things Nats baseball to kick off the Beltway Blitz, Commanders are on deck. Let's talk to our buddy Charlie Slows. One of the voices of Nats baseball. The game's at 6:45, which means pregame starts at 6:15 tonight with Charlie and Dave. Charlie, let's just start with DJ Hurz. I actually thought he was really good for
Pretty good, most part.
Gave up home runs on consecutive hanging sliders in the zone, but otherwise unscathed in five innings. He was sharp.
Yeah, I thought he was very good. I thought he did a great job to get out of trouble in the fourth inning. Used his changeup, mixed his pitches. Fastball was good. Two walks. You know, two pitches to pot, you know, see, the teams that can hit home runs, and not that you're expecting Luis Arraez to be one of them, but Profar is having a career year with 15 home runs. And the Padres as a team, you know, they are amongst the top five teams in the National League, top 11 in the majors in home runs. And that makes up for a lot, you know, on days where you don't do other things. And that's, you know, kind of when you look at the Nationals, when they struggle, it's because if they don't put together a bunch of hits, it's hard for them to score because they don't hit home runs as a team. And, you know, that kind of reflects on nights like last night. I didn't think Vasquez really anything that special. They just, you know, had a couple of chances when Lipscomb had a leadoff double in the third and they didn't get him home. They had a two-out double by Thomas in the sixth. They didn't get him home. And then when they got – you know, Vasquez gave up a leadoff double in the seventh inning. It was like fire alarms went off in the Padres dugout and the bullpen. They had to get him out at 68 pitches and make sure they had a lefty in Morahone for James Woods, which tells you how much respect he already has, that everybody in the late innings has a lefty ready to face Wood. And they were able to get the job done. That's made a base running mistake with Yepes thrown out at third. And that was really their last chance. They did have the two-base error with the reliever Estrada, who overthrew first base in the eighth inning by a lot, that put Lipscomb at second with one out. But again, Young and Abrams didn't get hits to drive him in. And so just a night where they were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position. They didn't have a ton of chances. They didn't cash in on any of them.
Yeah, Charlie, you mentioned Yepez getting thrown out at third. And it's not just one guy. It feels like it's still just sort of an epidemic with this group. Those outs on the bases like that, it feels like there's one a series on average, right? And for an offense, as you said, that's not going to hit a ton of home runs, they really can't afford that. There's a difference between getting thrown out at second, you know, when you're stealing and trying to be aggressive versus – you know, something that a little leaguer would get lectured for, right? When the ground ball's in front of you, you don't go between second and third. What's going on there? Where's kind of my adjustment here?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Yepez actually stopped to let the ball cross in front of him.
Yeah, no way, right?
But he's also, at that point, so far off second that the shortstop fields it going to his right. He's probably not winning a race back to the bag at second. So he just got so far off and made that move toward third right away, then stopped to let the ball cross in front of him. I think he's dead to rights no matter which direction he was going at that point. You know, a similar thing happened to them in the game on Sunday. They got lucky when Jacob Young was virtually picked off third by the catcher, but the third baseman Marte for Cincinnati missed the throw. It was a little bit high and went off his glove in the left field, and they scored the run and scored another run later in the inning. So, you know, aggressiveness for them, they've been thrown out a major league high 48 times on the bases. But you're right, that's just the steal attempts. That doesn't count if you run into an out, that kind of thing like you're talking about.
Yeah, and that issue's been years and years around here. I mean, that's been going on since right after they won a World Series, basically, in terms of some of the bad base running blunders. Mitchell Parker pitches tonight, 3.90 ERA. In his 17 starts, he's been a revelation this year. Not much of a high-end prospect in the system, but here he is as a 24-year-old who looks like he could be a long-term solution in the rotation. Last time we saw him in Milwaukee before the break, he pitched just two-thirds of an inning and got knocked around and threw a lot of pitches. So he's looking for a bounce-back start. That was really the only time he's really stunk this season. What have you made of his year, and what will you be looking for tonight?
Well, hopefully, you know, I think everybody's a little tired physically and mentally getting toward the break. We saw with Jake Irvin in a couple of starts. We saw, talking about Hers, how much better he looked last night. A young pitcher who hasn't pitched this much. And, you know, Parker, yeah, that was a 46-pitch first inning. And, you know, that's after we've seen an even longer inning for Mackenzie Gore. You don't see things like that very often. And pitchers, when they're in the minor leagues, they don't get that far. They get to around 30 pitches and they're out of the game. They don't let them get that far into it. He just couldn't find his way out of it, unfortunately. You know, hopefully the time off will do him well and clear his head a little bit, and he'll pitch the way he has in most of his starts. He's been very, very good. You know, a little bit at times, again, prone to the home run ball. But I think all of these guys have the potential to make up a rotation for a long time.
Well, the guy with the most potential in that group is probably Mackenzie Gore, who at times, as you said, Charlie, has been unbelievable. Seems to be kind of going through it right now. We're just, you know, whether it's he can't put guys away or, you know, the ball's not going exactly where he wants. I mean, the stuff is still otherworldly and electric, but just doesn't feel like he's in a good groove at the moment. Kind of what's he going through, and how do you see his way out of it?
Well, I think he's, you know, dealing with some mechanical issues, and I think it, you know, can get in your head a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's like a fielder getting the yips, but you know, he just couldn't land strikes in his last start, and anything close didn't get called either. And when he's in the zone, he has propensity, because he pitches up, to have a lot of balls fouled away, elevated fastballs. You know, we saw that with, you know, Max Scherzer early in his career. I always talk about this when he was with Arizona compared to when he came to the Nationals. What was the biggest difference? Well, he figured out a way to get deeper into games, because high pitch counts used to come off a lot of foul balls, and he was done, you know, 90 to 100 pitches in five innings. And that's kind of the same place I think Mackenzie Gore is in his career, trying to find a way to get easier outs than always, you know, trying to strike people out with the elevated fastball.
Charlie, we appreciate you. We will be listening 2 hours from now when pregame gets underway here on The Fan. Thank you.
Sounds good, guys.
Enjoy a night at the ballpark. Let's talk some football. Training camp, day one today. Mitch Tischler was on the scene, Monumental Sports. Mitch, why don't we begin with the Johnny Newton news that came down right before practice, off of the non-football injury list and available to work out with the team. That was incredible to see. That was great. What a boon to start camp for the Commanders.
Yeah, it was a great surprise. sounds like basically it was largely clerical that they put him on the NFI just because he hadn't passed the conditioning test yet, and so they couldn't officially act it. They had to do something with him. But he passed the conditioning test yesterday afternoon, and they were able to activate him today, and he's able to get out there and run around with the guys a little bit. It sounds like they're going to take him a little bit slow and let him work with some individual stuff first before they start figuring out, before he starts playing in the team portion of practices. But, man, it's great to see him out there, and I think that he could be a really important piece to this defensive line because outside of Duran and John, there aren't a whole lot of guys in that interior of the defensive line that are kind of playmakers per se, and that's somewhere that I think he can step in and help this team out.
What's he going to do this year? I mean, long term, I think we all kind of, you know, have a vision where he's a game wrecker and he's awesome on the interior. But this year, you kind of mentioned what's ahead of him, what's around him. How do you see him being used?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that, you know, the amount of use that John and Duran got last year at defensive tackle was probably too much just because they didn't have much behind him. And if you look around the league, top D tackles don't play as high a percentage of plays as those guys did. And so to have somebody like Johnny Newton that can step in and take a little bit of the pressure and the workload off of John Allen and Daron Payne, I think is an important part. And so, you know, he's not going to be starting games per se, but I do think you're going to see him kind of rotating in, and John Allen and Daron Payne should get the majority of the workload, but it should be much less because you have somebody like Johnny Newton who can step in alongside Fedarian Mathis and John Ridgeway to kind of allow those guys to not get worn out early in the season and to not have as much wear and tear on their bodies as they may have had last year.
How did Jaden Daniels look today?
He looked good. I mean, you know, he stepped right in and he had the play of the day with a really nice red zone pass to Brian Robinson kind of in the corner of the end zone. And what I really liked about that throw and some stuff they were working on individual was they were working on a bunch of touch passes, and today was mostly red zone work for the offense. And in the individual portion of practice, they were working with Cliff Kingsbury, who was standing, you know, at the goal line or just inside with his hands straight up in the air, and Savita Pritchard, the quarterback coach, was kind of rushing the quarterbacks, and they were working on kind of feathering throws in to the back of the end zone. And Jaden just looked really comfortable, you know, throwing some of those touch passes. And what I've seen, you know, since he came in to now hasn't been all that different, but he's able to throw the ball a bunch of different ways. And it's super important for a quarterback in the NFL to not just throw the fastball, but also, you know, be able to use a little bit of touch. And he throws a really nice ball and is able to give his receivers an opportunity to go make plays. And quite frankly, that's what you want your quarterback to do.
Mitch, you mentioned the OC. What is this offense really going to look like this year? I know that Kingsbury's bristled at the idea that it's an air raid. I mean, it's not, but it's modified. They're going to run the ball sometimes, I'm sure. And I know Daniels will probably, you know, tuck and run a few different times. But how do you envision this offense looking maybe compared to years past?
Yeah, I mean, particularly the last year, the Commanders were 32nd in the NFL in rush attempts, and I don't think anyone would be too surprised by that based on, you know, obviously what we saw. He does run a variation of the air raid, but if you look back to some of the stats and numbers when he was in Arizona, you know, they run the ball a fair amount, and I think you're going to see Brian Robinson used a lot more this year and, you know, be a bigger part of the offense, particularly in the run game. And when you ask kind of big picture what it's going to look like, I think you're going to see the ball get out to these receivers and to their, you know, athletic players in space and, you know, ask those guys to go make plays. Again, today was mostly red zone stuff, but you saw some of that with kind of the quick, you know, wide receiver outs and quick, you know, almost screen passes to them. Let them get the ball in their hands and go make plays. And what I like a lot is there's a lot of timing in the offense in that they'll throw these, you know, balls out to the outside and ask the O-line to, you know, have the block for a second and then work on going out and going to pick off another man. And I like the idea of that. And too much last year, we didn't see Terry get the looks that he should have gotten early on in games. And I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is going to allow that to happen this year. And that should be a good thing.
Jamin Davis was working with defensive ends, I saw. I mean, is that exclusively working at that position or just adding that to the portfolio for occasional usage? What do we think?
It's starting to look more and more like that might be what they expect from him. To me, I thought the big indicator of that was the team does 11 on 11, which is obviously full offense versus full defense. They then go to a 7 on 7 drill. The 7 on 7 drills are linebackers and secondary against the offense. And when they were doing that, Jamin was off with the defensive ends on the side of the field working on pass rush drills. And, you know, Dorrance Armstrong spent a lot of time with him on the field, you know, looking at leverages and hand placements and, you know, all the different things that, those guys work on. And Ryan Kerrigan was working with him too. So, you know, it's day one in camp, so it's a little bit hard to, you know, I don't want to pin anything down on him, but it does seem like they expect that he's going to be, you know, maybe a situational pass rusher a little bit more often or a little bit more than kind of traditional linebacker. And, you know, if they're able to find a way to get, you know, some good play out of him, and they have identified that you can use those athletic traits that we know that he has, you know, to dip and get around defensive ends and get up to the quarterback, I'm on board with it because, you know, Joe Witt and Dan Quinn have a good history of, you know, deploying players in an interesting way to get the most out of them and make them kind of successful on the field. And so if that's what they envision for Jamin, I hope that he's able to step up and, you know, and be that player and be, you know, be a little bit of a menace to
Mitch, thank you.
Line quarterback.
Sorry, buddy, I didn't mean to cut you off. Thank you, buddy. I always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Be good, Mitch. There's Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports, trying to stay comfortable in the heat at training camp. Day one today, practice this morning for the Commanders. Next, speaking of training camp practice number one out in Ashburn, let's make some bold camp predictions. We can open up the phones for you guys to do the same at 800-636-1067, but I've got a list I put together. I know Danny does as well. It's time for our annual tradition as camp opens, bold predictions for the weeks ahead in Ashburn next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Camp is underway. It's time to make some bold training camp predictions on Grant and Danny. Phones are open. 800-636-1067 for you right now. Danny, I'm going to let you go first with a training camp prediction. I have five that I've prepared.
Well, I got a few myself. I will start right here. It's going to become pretty apparent he doesn't have a place on the roster. They've already moved on. They've got other guys they like better. Early, Fidarian Mathis will be cut. That is a bold training camp prediction. Before we even get to times where you have to cut rosters down, they'll do that nice thing where they give them a chance to catch on with somebody else or blah, blah, blah. There's too much Johnny Newton. There's too much John Ridgeway. There's too much Efe Obada, who's versatile. There's too much incumbents.
He's on the pup list, remember.
At the moment, he is, yeah. But there are too many guys that have, you know, done some things over the last couple of seasons that are helpful, and they've got a crowded sort of outside slash defensive end region of that roster. When you start adding up Farrell and Fowler and Armstrong, et cetera, he's going to be a surprise cut.
Yeah, I've got on my list that he's squarely on the bubble, could be a casualty, so I'll move past that one. Bold prediction number one, they sign a starter who's not currently on the team. Could be a tackle, could be a corner, might even be a defensive end. Somebody gets cut elsewhere, they've got a lot of money to play with, I think by design, and they pounce, and they sign someone that ends up being a full-time starter on this team by the end of the year. Again, in order, I would say it's most likely that that's probably a left tackle, could very well be a corner. I think there's an outside chance it could be a pass rusher on the edge, but they will sign a starter that is not currently on the team. That's number one for me. Number two, I think Johnny Newton's going to be the talk of the summer. I think by the end of training camp, whatever we're calling that, a couple weeks from now, really just, you know, by the end of preseason games, frankly, Johnny Newton will be one of the talks of the team. How well he played, how good this kid is, how impactful he might be. I am buying all of the stock in Jerjon Newton. I think he's a really, really impactful player. And I think if he's healthy, and they wouldn't have taken him on off NFI already if he wasn't, in my opinion, I think he's got a chance to be a star of camp.
So you kind of touched on this, but I will drill down very specifically. They will sign a tackle. They're going to sign an offensive lineman, left tackle, right tackle, et cetera. Someone's going to be a training camp roster cut, sort of casualty, the way that Charles Leno was a couple seasons ago. Their left tackle is not on their roster right now, this minute. It's a dangerous way to live because you never know if someone's going to be available, who, how, what, when, or why. But I think after a couple days, they're going to say, yeah, we got to do something, and they're going to do something. They will sign a tackle.
How about this one? I think this is bold. Now, I'd already written this one down before the blitz a few minutes ago, so a little bit of wind has been taken out of my sails, frankly. I believe that there is a announced, legitimate full position change for Jamin Davis.
I got it written down right here, too.
I think we find out via a comment from Dan Quinn in a presser at some point, and maybe it comes from a question based on usage and practices, that he's no longer a linebacker. Like, he is not an off-ball guy who's roaming around at the second level. They think they got guys in their set there. Jamin Davis is going to be used in a completely different position, essentially as an edge, but kind of a pass-rushing jack-of-all-trades, moving him around. But I think, you know, it's one thing to say he's getting some work with a group or they're trying to figure out what his strengths are. I think by the end of the preseason, we're going to see that Jamin Davis is no longer a linebacker at all, but rather going to be used as a different positional player for Dan Quinn.
You mentioned Johnny Newton as a guy that's going to be the story of camp.
Johnny.
So you want to talk about the left-hander, Johnny. It's the right hand is the opposite. It's the left hand. The guy that's going to be the story of camp is Emmanuel Forbes. Emmanuel Forbes, the forgotten gentleman who got benched for weeks at a time, who could not play.
He was the story of camp last year. Can he be the story of camp two straight years?
Yes. This time, though, I don't know if it's real or not, but he's going to be, because you got a bunch of people that know what the hell they're doing working with the secondary. They're not going to make him do stuff he's not good at doing. They're going to find something that he can do. And in theory, he'll do that well. Emmanuel Forbes, the Renaissance, the 2.0, the best shape of his life, the offseason hero. He'll be the story of camp this year.
Boy, do I hope you're right. The leading receiver on the team in the preseason, a guy who's going to be shown making catches on the team's account constantly in practice, and then he will lead them in catches and yards in the preseason. Alamide Zaccheaus.
Oh.
The veteran who has played in Atlanta, sure, among other places, went to the University of Virginia. I don't even know if he makes the team, but I think he's going to play a lot in the preseason. It'll be veteran on an inexperienced guy in the second half of games. You're going to have McLaurin and Dotson and McCaffrey locks to get in. I think you're going to have Diami probably as a fourth guy. But I think Zaccheaus ends up being their leading receiver. Maybe crowbars his way onto the roster in the process throughout the preseason.
My bold prediction at a spot we don't think much about because we feel like these guys are pretty locked in. Chris Rodriguez will generate a ton of buzz Burbank. He will be like a bee humming around some honey. We're going to hear about Chris Rodriguez maybe poaching some touches from Brian Robinson, maybe even Austin Eckler in terms of toting the rock. we're going to hear a lot about Chris Rodriguez. This group's going to like him a lot.
I hate how similar our lists are. My guy, Chris Rodriguez, their leading rusher in the preseason.
There you go.
I don't think that's particularly bold, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it. We're supposed to be doing bold
predictions.
That's
pretty bold.
Well, Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler are not going to be in bubble tape necessarily, but you know those guys are locks to make the team, so he's going to play a lot. Him and Jeremy McNichols will probably do some of the heavy lifting in the preseason. But yeah, I think Chris Rodriguez will have a very good camp, and I think it'll feel like, to your point, like, oh, man, we've been talking so much about Robinson and Ekeler. He's the forgotten man. Now, as the year starts, we're going to get back to Robinson's your thumper. Ekeler is your outside zone guy and maybe your pass catcher. But I think it will be the Chris Rodriguez show from time to time in Ashburn.
My bold prediction. Among the guys that regularly play, okay, that's going to emerge from training camp. So I'm cheating a little bit as we get into like the actual NFL season. Of the guys that regularly play, I don't know why that word regularly is hard for me to say. I'm having to really over-enunciate it, but here we are. Only four players from the Ron Rivera and Marty Herney era will start and contribute regularly on defense. That's what I got. Four guys who start are going to be from the Rivera era. Will be holdovers.
Is that bold?
I think that's pretty bold.
I mean, their projected depth chart right now to run through it would be Armstrong, Payne, Allen, and Farrell on the defensive line. So that's two starters. Luvu, Wagner at linebacker. So neither are holdovers. Secondary would be St. Juice, Chin, Forrest, Davis, Sanristil. So that is one. I mean, that's only three. That's just their on-paper depth chart coming out of the offseason.
It's Payne, Allen, St. Juice, and Forrest. Those four guys are going to be starters and play regularly. Everyone else is going to be somebody brand spanking new.
But that's the current depth chart.
Well, I mean, you would think Quan Martin is intimately involved. You would think Jeremy Reeves is involved. Or Jamin Davis is a starter. Or he's going to contribute an awful lot.
He's not supposed to
start. Okay. What I'm saying, I don't know why you're disagreeing with it.
Okay.
My point is, everybody that contributes is going to be new, with the exception of four guys.
I think that's fair. I think that's the expectation. But
How is that the expectation? That's really the expectation? Is that Jamin Davis is moved to the bench and like doesn't play at all?
No, didn't you just say that start?
Yeah, that like starts and regularly contributes.
Oh, okay. Right. Like just
yeah, it's like
place.
Part of the rotation an awful lot.
Okay, that's
right?
A little bit different. Like my point is, if you go to ourlads.com right now, four of Rivera's guys are projected starters. Seven are new. So I'm just saying it wouldn't be bold to say only four Rivera guys start. I think
yeah,
that's
he only and he only grabbed two of them, by the way. They were actually his selections.
Yeah, pretty crazy. How about this one as a bold prediction? Benjamin St. Juice picks off five passes this season. I think you see the elevation happen in camp. Now, again, we're talking more about training camp, bold predictions. But Benjamin St. Juice has had, for whatever reason, a hard time getting his hands on the football in his NFL career. He has now played in 37 games, I think it is. He has one career interception. You're talking about maybe Forbes being a guy that steps forward in camp with these guys. I think he's the better like length, fit corner in a Dan Quinn defense. I think we see him get physical, make a bunch of picks in practice, and that carries over to a five-interception season for Benjamin St. Juice. You picking up what I'm putting
I
down?
I smell what you're cooking in there.
By the way, I always, every year at this time,
do this for St. Juice.
Over-talk about Benjamin St. Juice, and then I end up looking silly as the year goes on.
Bold prediction. Sam Cosmi signs a contract extension. Signs a contract extension.
I love that.
I don't know how bold that really is.
No, I think
it's bold adjacent.
You're saying before the start of the year, Sam Cosmi gets a deal? I think that's bolder than a lot of the things we've said.
That's boldy.
I like it.
Brian Boldinger.
At Boldy on Twitter. It's just
Boldy Breakdowns.
He posts tape of bold predictions. And it's always like tape off of a laptop in like a poorly lit room. You know how Boldy does it.
His Boldy loves it so much.
That bit is for like five people.
Brian Boldinger.
You can call us if you want to hop in. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Anthony in Calvert with a bold training camp prediction. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, guys?
Hey,
how are you, bud?
All right, sweet. Well, listen, I was on hold for way too long on your earlier segment. I had to drop, but okay. I do have a bold prediction. Bold prediction. Cole Turner. He finally will come out of his shell. He will finally be utilized for the weapon he is. He's a tweener between a tall, lanky tight end and a little bit of an oversized, slightly slower wide receiver, Cole Turner.
I wonder, I wonder if it's gonna happen.
Here's the problem
with Cole Turner.
You go and get Zach Ertz, you draft Ben Sinnott, you still have John Bates. He is the fourth guy. Armani Rodgers is back healthy for the time being. Armani Rodgers is a more athletic, interesting, kind of dynamic player. But Cole Turner, I think, has always showed pretty well with the chances he's gotten. The problem is it's a pretty crowded room now where did they bring you in or did someone else bring you in? They brought Ertz in. They brought Sinnott in. You're a holdover with Rodgers, Bates, among the guys they didn't bring in. It's tough for me to see a big breakout coming. I think last year would have been the year, and for whatever reason, he was out of favor. It wasn't a fit. I don't know if it's him or them. I don't want to blame him, but Ertz, Sinnott, those are the guys who are going to get most of the opportunities. Maybe he could supplant Bates as like the third guy, but he's going to have to block his butt off to do that because Bates has carved out a role, wouldn't you think, as a true blocker?
He's kind of their 1A in the inline blocking, please don't throw him the football type tight end. This one is aggressive, so I think this one's pretty bold here. So I guess that's the whole point of this, right? I don't totally see this happening. I wouldn't bet on it, but that's the nature of the banter.
True.
Trent Scott overtakes Andrew Wiley at right tackle. Trenton Scott overtakes Andrew Wiley at right tackle in this offense, in this system.
That's bold.
That's pretty bold.
If we're just we're saying things that are crazy that could happen?
This is not what I bet on. This is on the bolder side of the spectrum. One is, it's probably going to happen. This is the not that likely, but this is one of the ones I'm eyeballing. Remember, they like their internal options at a couple spots of dire need. So I'm wondering maybe that could be one of them that all of a sudden materializes.
Beat up on a bunch of Wiley performances last year. He got a lot better as the year went on. Also, they're paying him good money. So for a lot of reasons, it's hard to envision that, but my guy's throwing a bold prediction out there.
It's bold.
You got to think it's going to happen, though. And you don't necessarily with that one.
Yeah, that one's I'm wavering on. I guess my point is, I think with a new system, with new asks, new designs, and different things, maybe a skill set's different for Wiley. Maybe I want you more in space. I don't know that he does that better than Scott. I'm just thinking about that.
If Scott starts over, the 2% chance or whatever comes to fruition,
mm-hmm.
But more likely Scott, like we find out tomorrow, is no longer with
him. Is cut, yeah.
But, like, if that were to happen, I want your victory lap around this studio just barking at me to be really loud
no.
and really fun.
See, that's not one you get to do because I'm like, I don't really think this is going to happen, but we have two more minutes in the segment, so I'll do it.
Let's
that's
go
not
to
that one.
Dickie in Arlington on Grant and Danny. Dickie, how are you?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
How about it?
My bold prediction is Jamin Davis, I wouldn't say has a career year. He has a takeoff year. He's used where he's supposed to be used. Because he finally has a competent coaching staff. He forces 3 or 4 turnovers and has about 4.5-5 sacks. Nothing crazy, but it lands him a new contract in D.C.
Woo, a new contract for JD5-2. Do not have that in the office pool.
I would not be seen up about that, about him getting a new deal.
Yeah, it depends on the deal. Is it like 2 years, 12
yeah,
mil?
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I could do 2 years, 12 mil for you to be my like third or fourth guy off the edge.
Yeah.
5 sacks, though, would be a couple more than last year. He can run. He is physical. There is a starter kit for decent football player there. If you don't know that he's a linebacker or a first-round pick and you just see him, like, there was a game, I think it was the Broncos game, where he like hit Russell Wilson and forced a fumble on this great hustle play.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple of those where you go, man, I understand why there's intrigue with this player.
Early season, I don't remember, it was last year, the year before, like they were blitzing him downhill because maybe they were missing some pass rush, whatever it was. He got to the quarterback. He was pretty good at it. And then they stopped doing it altogether. So he had like 2.5 sacks through 4 weeks. And you're going, yes, do that. And then they were like, we should probably stop doing that. We don't, let's make him worse and make ourselves worse too.
What is the weirdest, but probably most reasonable thing that your office trains you for? The Cleveland Browns might have you beat.
So good.
That is next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Welcome back to G&D on The Fan. You can listen to the show wherever you are, coast to coast, via the Odyssey app. You have the ability to pause and rewind the show that way, listen in chapters, which is nice. Of course, you can also watch us every single day. We are streaming video 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. You can check us out right now if you'd like to do that here on Grant and Danny. So when I was in elementary school, I remember we used to have to do this thing like once a year where we did like a tornado drill. We would get under the table and we would like hear a siren and the teacher would tell us, okay, guys, we're doing the tornado thing.
Uh-huh.
And then they would say, okay, everyone out to the hallway. And then we'd go sit up against the wall in the hallway and we'd wait for Glenn Powell and Kate to come through and try to get their devices up in the air and they wouldn't be able to. And then they'd start making out. And then we'd finally get back to the classroom. And we all knew.
That's how it always went.
With all due respect, we're not in Oklahoma. Glenn Powell ain't walking through that door, right? But we got to be prepared just in case the tornado this time comes to old King George County, okay? We did it. I think most workplaces have different things that they do to prepare for various situations that you might encounter. I remember watching DeMar Hamlin die on the field. And I don't say that for shock value, like to make light of that. He did. He died on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was resuscitated and he survived at a local hospital in Cincinnati. And I remember that one of the big stories that came out of that, and one of the things that amazed me was that the reason he survived was the drilling that had been done, I think even that week, like you have to do it X number of times per season.
To keep your certification.
And I think the story was that like just coincidentally, by the grace of God, that week was when that Bengals staff had gone through all the permutations of if somebody's unconscious, how are we bringing them back and how are we doing this and getting them to the ambulance and getting them to the hospital. Because they had drilled on that, they were able to do it. So this is a good practice. Like, you should just be prepared for all situations. Danny, I bring you a hilarious video. Made the rounds on the internet yesterday. The Cleveland Browns security practicing tackling a drunken, annoying, sprinting, cutting, jumping, leaping, elusive streaker on their field yesterday in their stadium.
So good.
I want to know who the person was that gets to play the drunk or the streaker.
Or would you take turns?
That dude was getting tackled.
Yeah.
He was getting brought to the ground with force. Is there a payment involved in that? Do you get extra that day? Because the entire drill, which is probably necessary, it's going to happen inevitably at the stadium that you work at this season, that as a security person, someone's going to try to cross in front of you and get on the field and or successfully going to get on the field. And then what are you going to do about it? So they were drilling basically how they get this guy to the ground without him hurting any players. Right thing to do. But the video was just hysterical.
It really is awesome. And again, I wonder if it's like a Facebook marketplace, like a job posting, like $100 for the day. Try to run away from and then get tackled by our security. They're practicing you being a drunken boob running onto the field. But it's so good.
Do you think that they are specific in their ask? Like, hey, I'll do it. No, we need someone a little bit more athletic.
Yeah.
We need someone a little quicker. We need someone who can run. We need someone who can get away from these guys.
We need to provide these guys a challenge here.
Like, if I volunteer, they're like, I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
We'll call you if we need you. But in the meantime, we're probably going to get someone who can give them a little run for their money. Like the dude that's running.
He's moving a little bit. A couple cuts in there that are pretty good.
Watching it is just so funny. I'm going to retweet it. It's just a hysterical video. He gets dropped with like the illegal hip drop tackle, by the way. The one that the NFL is trying to get rid of. The security guard implements right at the 5 or 10 yard line. But this donk gets out on the field. They come running out. He puts a great move on a guy and then a stutter step and a complete missed tackle. The one guy who goes for the first tackle, what's the opposite of textbook? He basically one arm tackles him up around the shoulder like he's slapping him in the back. And shocker, he doesn't get him to the ground. The next guy who catches him wraps him hip drop tackle right on his ankles. Might have broken a foot. And that's where I go back to, who's volunteering for this job? And then they're all laughing and hyping up the crowd after the tackle. It's a real practice. It's like their training camp.
It is so, again, that's my favorite part about it is I want no mercy for people that run on the field. Like, it's funny to watch that because these guys are practicing and no one's in danger. Like, I want instant overreaction to curb it from happening. I am way more harsh on this than I think a lot of people are. So, A, it's great to practice. And B, yeah, hip drop, whatever you got to do. Get that dude to the ground, get that guy out of the ground, and get them out of there. They are not supposed to be there, period, end of story, and let's get it done as quickly as possible. All in on that. I love it.
They're going to be ready for all streakers in week one in Cleveland. So if you're planning on running on the field, just know They've been doing their practices.
Yeah, good luck to you.
They've been exercising. They know what they're doing. So at this point, would Clary be the most successful streaker for the show, do you think?
Yeah.
Or maybe streaker's the wrong word, but the guy to run on the field, because we're all, I think we're all probably keeping our clothes on. I don't know about you guys, but
yeah,
I'm certainly doing that.
Not helping anybody. He would do the best. He doesn't have like the jump cut or kind of the lateral start stop, the quickness.
Right. Are you twitchy? I mean, you've lost a lot of weight. You wouldn't consider yourself fast though.
I would actually consider myself quick.
Really?
I'm a little quick.
Now, or you've now. Always, like, even for your size before?
Even for my size before. I have, like, cat-like instincts, you could say. So I feel like I could kind of run around there and give someone a nice little whirl.
Cat-like instincts.
You want to?
Cat-like reflexes or
cat-like
instincts?
Cat-like reflex, but either cat-like way. Instincts, same, it's a synonym.
Instincts and reflexes, those are a synonym?
They could be.
They're opposites in a way. One's anticipating what might happen, the other's directly reacting quickly to what did
What's
just happen.
What's a synonym?
It's the same. It's the same word. Same definition, but a different word.
Okay. What's a simile?
I don't know.
That was so honest.
I heard Jairus.
That was so honest.
What's a simile?
I don't know.
What's a metaphor?
Metaphor is like...
Yep.
I do know what a metaphor is. I use them.
How would you describe a metaphor?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a great one, isn't it?
It's a good question. I just don't have an answer at this point.
But you use metaphors. Use
I
one.
Do use metaphors.
Yeah, go ahead and use one. Whatever.
You're staring at me like I got something. I don't.
No, it just whenever you're ready. You're doing what do you mean you're doing the podcast?
I was doing the podcast for the show.
Oh, uploading our podcast.
Yeah, but what does
saying.
That have to do with what is a metaphor?
Like I just got called upon. Now I was at my train of thought is work focused on the podcast.
No, which I understand.
Right.
But now I'm asking you as an aside, what is a metaphor? You don't need to have a big train of thought.
I don't have it for you right
okay.
now.
Okay. What is a homonym?
I don't know.
Clary explains it all a homonym. Give us your best guess.
What's a homonym?
I don't have one. I don't know.
Fire up the music, Darius. But what were we originally talking about? Oh, you getting away from security.
Yeah. So I don't think he's... I think straight ahead quickness. Like in other words, starting and going forward, I think he's pretty good at that. He'd be the best. He'd be in the best shape. He'd run around the longest. Not a lot of shimmy in there. Not a lot of start-stop.
100% though. Like if... And maybe this is something we could do as a show at the preseason opener or something. We could all run out there and see who could last the longest, like a bull rodeo. That would actually be a 10 for the G&D show. I mean, we're not going to do it. Don't worry, Commanders. But if we all bought tickets, Danny would have to be at FedEx. And then one at a time, it was like to see who picked first in fantasy.
Uh-huh.
who could be out on the
who
field
Who avoided
longest.
Conflict longest.
Yeah.
That'd be hard. It'd be bad if you got the last pick or you drew the last straw. Because now that three people have gone onto the field from the same section, maybe they're like anticipating someone might else come.
I sneaky think I could be silly at avoiding. The problem is endurance.
Yeah,
I would have none of it. Like, as soon as you give me about 20 good seconds, I'm going to make a guy miss. He's going to think I don't have some wiggle. Then I make a move, and he's like, oh, really big guy. That's pretty good. But now I'm done. Like, now it's like, and it's been like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know how long it would take for those security guys to get hands on you, me, and Darius. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it would take them too long. Now, whether I got out of that first hit, that first tackle, TBD.
Clary's got a shot. Clary's going to run around for a little while.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if he felt like he had a little twitch at this point.
But I just, again, I keep saying the same thing. I think he could run straight and kind of veer in a direction one way or the other. I don't think he's got that change of direction, start, stop, Barry Sanders, like in the whole quickness. I just don't think he has that.
What would your plan be if you got out on the field, Clary? Would you try to go like out toward midfield so you can kind of hip on a swivel, see everybody coming? Or would you just like, haul as far away from the close security guards as possible?
Well, I'd try to get in some open space, so I'd probably aim for the logo. So I'd try to go midfield, run the midfield, and just kind of see where everyone is, and just find a little hole there like I'm Brian Mitchell and just run right through it.
Now, don't forget, Bobby Wagner's on the team now. Bobby Wagner, famous for when there was a streaker on the field for the Rams-Seahawks, I think, like Monday night game.
Clothesline that dude.
He was the one that just came off the sideline and ended that dude's night. Like, he woke up and he's like, who hit me? What was it? Was it a truck or
was it a Wagner?
A player? So maybe Bobby Wagner ends Clary's night. That would not be that fun.
That's awesome for the fan, but Bobby Wagner respectfully hasn't met Ryan Clary. No, I'm kidding. Bobby Wagner would kill me. he would kill me.
I think I'm going to give myself 11 seconds. I'm going to say 14 seconds. Because it takes them a few seconds to really know what's happening.
Right. Oh, what happened? Someone came. Now I got to get out of my chair. Yeah.
I'm going to say, Darius, I'm going to give you 18 seconds.
That is very generous of you. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to give you 23 seconds.
Less than that, I think.
Because you play pickleball.
Yeah, it's less than
also,
that.
Also, there's not a whole lot. Like, I could see you just being like, guys, enough. Like, it's fine. I'm right here. Like, I don't think you're committed to the bit. I don't think you're really going to make a miss. I think they get close. You're just giving in a little bit. Is that fair analysis?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I'm out there, I'm trying to avoid.
You're trying to get the number one pick in the Grant and Danny list.
Yeah, but if I'm out there committing a felony, I'm not just going quietly. You see what I'm saying? Like,
you
I gotta
went
go
to the beach, right?
Yeah.
You might as well jump in the water.
Yeah, my feet are going in the water. So like I'll but again, it would last less than 23 seconds. I couldn't do that.
Clary, we gonna give him a 30 spot?
Clary could do 30.
30's a lot.
Yeah. Now it depends. If somebody has an angle on him, he can't
now, how
change
many,
direction.
Also, how many guards are closing in? Is this like a scene out of Bad Boys where there's like cops from 50 angles? I mean, if there's three or four cops all told, all coming from the same end zone, 30 seconds, no problem. But if like immediately on the walkie-talkie, we got a code red.
Swarm.
And just 11 dudes coming out from all sidelines, he has no chance at 30 seconds.
Yeah, he's Dalvin.
I mean, I think 18 seconds would be it for me. Like,
then we all have to lower our number.
Exactly. I think we are way jumping the guns here. It's way too high.
But you're a minus 240 favorite, is what I need everyone to know.
We agree there.
Maybe.
You're going to be picking first in the Grant and Danny Listener League if this is how we determine the draft order.
Fair.
G&D on the fin. How you feeling about Jaden Daniels a day into camp? We'll get into that next, right here on Grant and Danny. Welcome back to G&D on the Fan. You can listen to the show wherever you are, coast to coast, via the Odyssey app. You have the ability to pause and rewind the show that way, listen in chapters, which is nice. Of course, you can also watch us every single day. We are streaming video 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. You can check us out right now if you'd like to do that here on Grant and Danny. So when I was in elementary school, I remember we used to have to do this thing like once a year where we did like a tornado drill. We would get under the table and we would like hear a siren and the teacher would tell us, okay, guys, we're doing the tornado thing.
Uh-huh.
And then they would say, okay, everyone out to the hallway. And then we'd go sit up against the wall in the hallway and we'd wait for Glenn Powell and Kate to come through and try to get their devices up in the air and they wouldn't be able to. And then they'd start making out. And then we'd finally get back to the classroom. And we all knew.
That's how it always went.
With all due respect, we're not in Oklahoma. Glenn Powell ain't walking through that door, right? But we got to be prepared just in case the tornado this time comes to old King George County, okay? We did it. I think most workplaces have different things that they do to prepare for various situations that you might encounter. I remember watching DeMar Hamlin die on the field. And I don't say that for shock value, like to make light of that. He did. He died on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was resuscitated and he survived at a local hospital in Cincinnati. And I remember that one of the big stories that came out of that, one of the things that amazed me was that the reason he survived was the drilling that had been done. I think even that week, like you have to do it X number of times per season.
To keep your certification.
And I think the story was that like just coincidentally, by the grace of God, that week was when that Bengals staff had gone through all the permutations of if somebody's unconscious, how are we bringing them back and how are we doing this and getting them to the ambulance and getting them to the hospital? Because they had drilled on that, they were able to do it. So this is a good practice. Like, you should just be prepared for all situations. Danny, I bring you a hilarious video. Made the rounds on the internet yesterday. The Cleveland Browns security practicing tackling a drunken, annoying, sprinting, cutting, jumping, leaping, elusive streaker on their field yesterday in their stadium.
So good.
I want to know who the person was that gets to play the drunk or the streaker.
Or would you take turns?
That dude was getting tackled.
Yeah.
He was getting brought to the ground with force. Is there a payment involved in that? Do you get extra that day? Because the entire drill, which is probably necessary, It's going to happen inevitably at the stadium that you work at this season, that as a security person, someone's going to try to cross in front of you and get on the field and or successfully going to get on the field, and then what are you going to do about it? So they were drilling basically how they get this guy to the ground without him hurting any players. Right thing to do, but the video was just hysterical.
It really is awesome. And again, I wonder if it's like a Facebook marketplace, like a job posting, like $100 for the day. Try to run away from and then get tackled by our security. They're practicing you being a drunken boob running onto the field. But it's so good.
Do you think that they are specific in their ask? Like, hey, I'll do it. No, we need someone a little bit more athletic.
Yeah.
We need someone a little quicker. We need someone who can run. We need someone who can get away from these guys.
We need to provide these guys a challenge here.
Like, if I volunteer, they're like, I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
We'll call you if we need you. But in the meantime, we're probably going to get someone who can give them a little run for their money. Like, the dude that's running.
He's moving a little bit. A couple cuts in there that are pretty good.
Watching it is just so funny. I'm going to retweet it. It's just a hysterical video. He gets dropped with, like, the illegal hip drop tackle, by the way. The one that the NFL is trying to get rid of. The security guard implements right at the 5 or 10-yard line. But this donk gets out on the field. They come running out. He puts a great move on a guy and then a stutter step and a complete missed tackle. The one guy who goes for the first tackle, what's the opposite of textbook? He basically one arm tackles him up around the shoulder like he's slapping him in the back. And shocker, he doesn't get him to the ground. The next guy who catches him wraps him hip drop tackle right on his ankles. Mm-hmm. Might have broken a foot. And that's where I go back to, who's volunteering for this job? And then they're all laughing and hyping up the crowd after the tackle. It's a real practice. It's like their training camp.
It is so, again, that's my favorite part about it is I want no mercy for people that run on the field. Like, it's funny to watch that because these guys are practicing and no one's in danger. Like, I want instant overreaction to curb it from happening. I am way more harsh on this than I think a lot of people are. So, A, it's great to practice. And B, yeah, hip drop, whatever you got to do. Get that dude to the ground, get that guy out of the ground, and get them out of there. They are not supposed to be there, period, end of story, and let's get it done as quickly as possible. All in on that. I love it.
They're going to be ready for all streakers in week one in Cleveland. So if you're planning on running on the field, just know they've been doing their practices.
Yeah, good luck to you.
They've been exercising. They know what they're doing. So at this point, would Clary be the most successful streaker for the show, do you think?
Yeah.
Or maybe streaker is the wrong word, but the guy to run on the field, because I think we're all probably keeping our clothes on. I don't know about you guys, but
yeah,
I'm certainly doing that.
Not helping anybody. He would do the best. He doesn't have like the jump cut or kind of the lateral start stop, the quickness.
Right. Are you twitchy? I mean, you've lost a lot of weight. You wouldn't consider yourself fast though.
I would actually consider myself quick.
Really?
I'm a little quick.
Now, or you've now. Always, like, even for your size before?
Even for my size before. I have, like, cat-like instincts, you could say. So I feel like I could kind of run around there and give someone a nice little whirl.
Cat-like instincts.
You want to?
Cat-like reflexes or
cat-like
instincts?
Cat-like reflex, but
either
cat-like
way.
Instincts, same, it's yeah. a synonym.
Instincts and reflexes, those are a synonym?
They could be.
They're opposites in a way. One's anticipating what might happen, the other's directly reacting quickly to what did
What's
just happen.
What's a synonym?
The same. It's the same word. Same definition, but a different word.
Okay. What's a simile?
I don't know.
That was so honest.
I heard Darius.
That was so honest.
What's a simile?
I don't know.
What's a metaphor?
Metaphor is like...
Yep.
I do know what a metaphor is. I use them.
How would you describe a metaphor?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a great one, isn't it?
It's a good question. I just don't have an answer at this point.
But you use metaphors.
I do use metaphors.
Yeah, go ahead and use one. Whatever.
You're staring at me like I got something. I don't.
No, it just whenever you're ready. You're doing what do you mean you're doing the podcast?
I was doing the podcast for the show.
Oh, uploading our podcast.
Yeah, but what does
saying.
That have to do with what is a metaphor?
I just got called upon. Now I was at my... My train of thought is work focused on the podcast.
No, which I understand.
Right.
But now I'm asking you, as an aside, what is a metaphor? You don't need to have a big train of thought.
I don't have it for you right
okay.
now.
Okay. What is a homonym?
I don't know.
Clary explains it all, a homonym. Give us your best guess.
What's a homonym?
I don't have one.
I don't know. Fire up the music, Darius. But what were we originally talking about? Oh, you getting away from security.
Yeah. So I don't think he's... I think straight ahead quickness. Like in other words, starting and going forward, I think he's pretty good at that. He'd be the best. He'd be in the best shape. He'd run around the longest. Not a lot of shimmy in there. Not a lot of start-stop. 100%,
though. Like, if... And maybe this is something we could do as a show at the preseason opener or something. We could all run out there and see who could last the longest, like a bull rodeo. That would actually be a 10 for the G&D show. I mean, we're not going to do it. Don't worry, Commanders. But if we all bought tickets, Danny would have to be at FedEx. And then one at a time, it was like to see who picked first in fantasy.
Uh-huh.
who could be out on the field longest.
Who avoided conflict longest.
Yeah.
It'd be bad if you got the last pick or you drew the last straw. Because now the three people have gone onto the field from the same section. Maybe they're like anticipating someone might else come.
I sneaky think I could be silly at avoiding. The problem is endurance.
Yeah.
I would have none of it. Like as soon as you give me about 20 good seconds, I'm going to make a guy miss. He's going to think I don't have some wiggle. Then I make a move and he's like, oh, really big guy. That's pretty good. But now I'm done. Like now it's like, and it's been like 10 seconds.
Yeah. I don't know how long it would take for those security guys to get hands on you, me, and Darius. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it would take him too long. Now, whether I got out of that first hit, that first tackle, TBD.
Cleary's got a shot. Cleary's going to run around for a little while.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if he felt like he had a little twitch at this point.
But I just, again, I keep saying the same thing. I think he could run straight and kind of veer in a direction one way or the other. I don't think he's got that change of direction, start, stop, Barry Sanders, like in the whole quickness. I just don't think he has that.
What would your plan be if you got out on the field, Cleary? Would you try to go like out toward midfield so you can kind of hip on a swivel, see everybody coming? Or would you just like haul as far away from the close security guards as possible?
Well, I'd try to get in some open space, so I'd probably aim for the logo. So I'd try to go midfield, run the midfield, and just kind of see where everyone is. And just find a little hole there like I'm Brian Mitchell and just run right through it.
Now, don't forget, Bobby Wagner's on the team now. Bobby Wagner, famous for when there was a streaker on the field for the Rams-Seahawks, I think, like Monday night game.
Close on that dude.
He was the one that just came off the sideline and ended that dude's night. Like, he woke up and he's like, who hit me? What was it? Was it a truck? Or was it
a Wagner?
A player? So maybe Bobby Wagner ends Clary's night. That would not be that fun.
That's awesome for the fan, but Bobby Wagner respectfully hasn't met Ryan Cleary. No, I'm kidding. Bobby Wagner would kill me. he would kill me.
I think I'm going to give myself 11 seconds. I'm going to say 14 seconds. Because it takes them a few seconds to really know what's happening.
Right. Oh, what happened? Someone came. Now I got to get out of my chair. Yeah.
I'm going to say, Darius, I'm going to give you 18 seconds.
That is very generous of you. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to give you 23 seconds.
Less than that, I think.
Because you play pickleball.
Yeah, it's less than
also, that. Also, there's not a whole lot. Like, I could see you just being like, guys, enough. Like, it's fine. I'm right here. Like, I don't think you're committed to the bit. I don't think you're really going to make a miss. I think they get close, you're just giving in a little bit. Is that fair analysis?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I'm out there, I'm trying to avoid.
You're trying to get the number one pick in the Grant and Danny list.
Yeah, but if I'm out there committing a felony, I'm not just going quietly. You see what I'm saying? Like,
you
I gotta
went
go
to the beach, right?
Yeah,
you might as well jump in the water.
Yeah, my feet are going in the water. So like, I'll. But again, it would last less than 23 seconds. I couldn't do that.
Cleary, we gonna give him a 30 spot?
Cleary could do 30.
30's a lot.
Yeah. Now it depends. If somebody has an angle on him, he can't
now, how
change
many,
direction.
Also, how many guards are closing in? Is this like a scene out of Bad Boys where there's like cops from 50 angles? I mean, if there's three or four cops all told, all coming from the same end zone, 30 seconds, no problem. But if like immediately on the walkie-talkie, we got a code red.
Swarm.
And just 11 dudes coming out from all sidelines, he has no chance at 30 seconds.
Yeah, he's Dalvin'd.
I mean, I think 18 seconds would be it for me. Like,
and then we all have to lower our number.
Exactly. I think we are way jumping the guns here. It's way too high.
But you're a minus 240 favorite, is what I need everyone to know.
We agree there.
Maybe.
You're going to be picking first in the Grant and Danny Listener League if this is how we determine the draft order.
Fair.
G&D on the fin. How you feeling about Jaden Daniels a day into camp? We'll get into that next, right here on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.